This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Unchange my dead heart. Make me alive again. Give me a fresh start. So change my heart, please. Wash the filth away. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of The Power of Dhikr. In the last episode, we talked about La ilaha illallah. And I just want to add to that, the virtue of La ilaha illallah is something that, you know, we can't even begin to mention. SubhanAllah, it's enough for us that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed Allah has forbidden the hellfire for the one who says La ilaha illallah seeking the face of Allah. So we talked about what it means, and we talked a little bit about how we understand it and how we implement it, and that as Muslims we have to live La ilaha illallah in our lives. We have to make it, we have to give truth to it, we have to live it, we have to practice it every single day of our lives. And if we do that, then Allah has forbidden the hellfire, completely forbidden the hellfire for the one who says La ilaha illallah, seeking by it the face of Allah. And likewise, whoever's last statement on this earth is La ilaha illallah will enter Jannah. So this is very important for us to focus on frequenting this word, saying this word a lot, and encouraging those who are sick and those who are passing out of this world to say it. As the Prophet ﷺ said, لَقِّنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Encourage your dead to say La ilaha illallah. Repeat it so that they repeat it after you. Now we move on to another of the four words that the Prophet ﷺ said, and the most beloved of speech to Allah, and the most and the best of speech to Allah, the most pure of the speech to Allah, and more beloved to him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, than everything in this world, everything that the sun rises upon. So we come to the word or the phrase subhanallah. What does it mean for us to say subhanallah? Let's first of all look at some of the virtues of saying subhanallah before we talk a little bit about what it means to say subhanallah. We heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the most beloved of speech to Allah is four things, and the first one that he mentioned is subhanallah. And one of the companions in Sahih Muslim, in the hadith of Abu Dharr, may Allah be pleased with him, one of the companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the best speech? What's the best speech that we can say? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what Allah chose for his angels, or he said what Allah chose for his slaves, to say subhanallah wa bihamdi. And the Prophet ﷺ said, shall I not tell you of the most beloved speech to Allah? They said, O Messenger of Allah, tell us what is the most beloved of speech to Allah. And he said, the most beloved of speech to Allah is subhanallah wa bihamdi. And we know, of course, the famous hadith that there are two words that are light on the tongue and heavy on the scales. Subhanallah wa bihamdi and subhanallah al-azim. And we know this is a very famous hadith, the hadith that Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah finished his sahih with. And of course we know that that it is mentioned about subhanallah wa bihamdi, that nobody will say it except nobody who says it 100 times will bring, nobody will be able to bring anything better than it than the one who says it more. So you say it 100 times a day, nobody will be able to come on the day of judgment with any deed that is better than it except the one who says it more. So subhanallah is something we should be frequenting, something we should be used to saying, something we should be saying all the time. And I think we need to talk about the meaning of subhanallah, because I think many people misunderstand the meaning of subhanallah. Subhanallah, before anything and everything, is a word of tanzih. And tanzih, it basically, or essentially what we're talking about here is that we are glorifying Allah above the false things that are attributed to Him. And we're declaring Allah's perfection above the imperfections that are said, or that we do, or the imperfections that are attributed to Him. So for example, when we hear in the Qur'an, when Allah talks about, they say that Allah has a son, what does Allah say? Subhana. Subhana. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds with subhanallah to the statement that Allah has taken a son, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far above this, Glory be to him. He is far above the need of taking a son or this imperfection and this kind of thing that, you know, of course, having a son is all about completing your lineage. It's because you're going to die. It's because, you know, you want to see your lineage continue. It's about your need for family. It's about your need for comfort. It's about, you know, you want to sort of leave a legacy. You want also to have that kind of relationship and the marriage and the sort of intimate relations of marriage and so on and so forth. Allah Azza wa Jal is high above. Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yasifun. He is high above what they attribute to him. Allah is in no need of having a son, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this word subhanallah, it's about declaring Allah to be above the falsehood which is attributed to him, and declaring Allah to be perfect when we are imperfect. So one of the times in which it is very good to say subhanallah, of course it's good to say subhanallah at any time, is to say subhanallah in response to a mistake that happens, or in a response to something that we do that is not perfect. So somebody says to you that, oh, you know, I fell short. I didn't do what I should have done. I committed a sin. And we say to this, subhanallah. Why do we say subhanallah? We're affirming the perfection of Allah and the imperfection of Allah's creation. That Allah is perfect, we're not perfect. Repent, get on with it. Change your good deeds, or change your bad deeds into good, and make a positive impact in your community. So subhanallah is a means of us saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect and we are imperfect. Look what Allah Azza wa Jalla, when Allah mentions any of the beliefs of the mushrikeen in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the beliefs of Quraysh, when Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions what they say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so many times in the Quran it comes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanallah and again subhanahu wa ta'ala are statements of tanzih, statements that we are saying that Allah Azza wa Jalla is perfect, we are imperfect. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect above all of those imperfections that people attribute to him, all of the false things that people do, all of the false worship that Allah is in no need of, because Allah is the most rich and the least in need of any of the partners of that are made with him, of this partnership that is made. Allah is the least in need of it. And Allah says, whoever associates something with me in an action, taraktuhu wa shirka, I abandon him and I abandon the association that he makes, the partnership that he makes, because Allah Azza wa Jalla is in no need of it. And that is the meaning of subhanallah. So it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful word for us to say. For us to say subhanallah, for us to affirm that Allah is perfect and we are imperfect, for us to affirm that Allah is high and glorified above all of the falsehood that is attributed to him. And subhanallah, of course, can be said in a positive sense, in the sense that when you see something good, subhanallah, you know, again, affirming the glory of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the perfection of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And likewise, you can say subhanallah, and this is what people don't tend to understand, when something bad happens. So when you see something bad, when you see something that you don't like, you affirm the perfection of Allah and the imperfection of the human beings by saying subhanallah. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. So Allah Azza wa Jalla joins between the tasbih, the subhanallah, and between the hamd, the praise of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has many, many, many meanings. That we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we glorify Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is what you've been created for. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I've only created the jinn and the men to worship me alone. So you have been created for this, to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah. And remember that Allah doesn't need your praise. And this hamd, it is the most perfect form of praise, the most perfect form of thana, the most perfect form of thanking Allah Azza wa Jal. Because alhamd, it doesn't just come as a result, unlike a shukr. Shukr comes as a result of a good thing that happened to you. So when you thank Allah Azza wa Jal, you thank Him for something that happened to you. Whereas as hamd is more general than that, you praise Allah ala kulli hal, in every situation. Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal, all praises due to Allah in every situation, good or bad. So something good happens to you and you praise Allah, something bad happens to you and you praise Allah, because you're constantly in a state of praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to know the importance of alhamd, not only the hadith that we talked about that say subhanallah wa bihamdi, but what about Surah Al-Fatiha? The right at the beginning of Surah Al-Fatiha, after Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of mankind. So we praise Allah Azza wa Jal in every situation, and we don't look at whether it's good or bad, because everything deserves the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is our Lord. He is the one who's given us all of the blessings that we have. He is the one who's sustained us and provided for us. He's the one who's guided us to the straight path. He is the one who has kept us alive, kept us in a situation where we can worship Him. Even though if Allah left us for even the blink of an eye, we would not be able to do anything. That's why we say, فَلَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَى نَفْسِي طَرْفَةَ عَيْنِ. Don't leave me with myself for the blink of an eye. Oh Allah, don't leave me with myself for the blink of an eye. So this is your need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the praise that you give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what the angels do. The angels, they say subhanallah, they glorify Allah, they declare Allah to be high above the imperfections that are attributed to Him, they declare Allah to be high above the imperfections of His creation. Even the angels, even all of Allah's creation, Allah is high above all of the imperfections of His creation. And then they praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single day when we read Surah Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything in the heavens and the earth does its own form of tasbih. Its own form of saying subhanallah. And this is a reality. This is not something that we should understand to be a metaphorical sense. The reality, the physical reality, is that every single thing on this earth has been taught its salah, its means of prayer, and its means of tasbih, of praising Allah Azza wa Jal. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, all of them know their salah, and all of them know their tasbih. They have been taught their prayer, and they've been taught how to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is glorified by everything in the heavens and the earth. The fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, but we don't recognize that glorification. As in, we can't, the glorifying of Allah, we can't recognize it, we don't know how it happens, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's speech is the truth, that every single thing glorifies Allah. So when you sit and you spend your time to say, Subhanallah wa bihamdi. And don't just make this something that you say, this subhanallah and this alhamdulillah that you just say. But again, you live it, you practice it, you make sure that you don't ever attribute to Allah imperfection, and you recognize that all of our imperfections, overlook whatever imperfections we have a Lord who is perfect, who guides us, who looks after us, who provides for us. It is Him that we praise in every situation, and it is Him that we glorify in every situation, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is free from all those imperfections that are attributed to Him. These are some of the meanings of Alhamdulillah and some of the meanings of Subhanallah that we say, so we're working our way through those. Please do join us for a future episode, inshallah, and we will be continuing our discussion of these four words, La ilaha illallah, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, and Allahu Akbar, and of course, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That's on the power of dhikr. Jazakum Allahu khayran. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wash all the filth away and change my dead heart. Make me alive again. Give me a fresh start. So change my heart, please. Wash the filth away. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray. Wash all the filth away and change my dead heart.